Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Morning to everybody.
D'abord, merci à Pasteur Schaller, à tout le staff, de me faire l'honneur d'être ici ce matin.
I want to thank Pastor Schaller and the staff for the honor to be here this morning.
J'aimerais aussi saluer mon épouse.
I'd like to greet my wife,
qui est là ce matin.
She's here this morning.
Nous fêtons nos 25 ans de mariage cette année.
So we are celebrating 25 years of marriage this year.
Voilà. Donc, prions.
Let's pray.
Seigneur, merci de bénir cette journée ensemble.
Lord, we ask you to bless our day together.
Merci pour l'opportunité que nous avons de goûter à ta parole, Seigneur.
And we thank you for the opportunity we have to taste of your word.
Merci parce que tu es une parole vivante en nous, Seigneur.
And we thank you because you are a living word in us.
Par le ministère du Saint-Esprit.
Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Quelle grâce nous avons, Seigneur.
What grace we have.
D'avoir accès à tes pensées.
To have access to you.
Tes pensées de bonté envers nous, Jésus.
To your thoughts and your goodness towards us.
Merci de bénir ces paroles maintenant.
We ask you to bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nous allons commencer par lire un verset dans le livre de Daniel au chapitre 2.
So let's start by reading a verse in Daniel chapter 2.
Et nous allons lire les versets 21 et 22.
And verse 21 and 22.
Je te laisse lire.
Daniel 2:21-22.
Vas-y.
Okay. He changes time and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him.
Donc là, nous voyons Daniel remercier Dieu pour une chose extraordinaire.
So here we see Daniel thanking God for something amazing.
C'est que d'un côté, nous avons un Dieu qui change les temps et les circonstances.
On one hand, we have a God that can change seasons and circumstances.
Et là, nous voyons Daniel qui va avoir le don d'interpréter le rêve du roi.
And you see that Daniel is about to interpret. They have the gift of interpretation for the dream of the king.
Et aussi, il remercie Dieu parce que c'est Dieu qui va donner de l'intelligence et la sagesse à ceux qui sont intelligents déjà.
And he also thanks God because he sees that wisdom and intelligence is given by God.
Mais lorsqu'on lit les Écritures, parfois on voit des versets qui ont l'air contradictoires.
And sometimes when you read scriptures, you seem to find verses that contradict each other.
Dans un autre verset, dans Ecclésiaste 9, verset 11.
In Ecclesiastes 9:11,
l'Ecclésiaste dit, peu importe l'intelligence qu'on peut avoir.
It says whatever the intelligence you may have.
Peut avoir la sagesse, peu importe la sagesse.
Or whatever the wisdom you have.
Peut avoir les dons, peu importe les dons.
Whatever the gifts you have.
Parce que de toute façon, c'est Dieu qui change les circonstances.
Because at the end of the day, God changes everything.
Nous savons qu'Ecclésiaste a un regard très naturel sur la vie de l'être humain.
But we also know that the Ecclesiastes has a very natural way of seeing life.
Et c'est vrai que lorsque l'on vit de façon très naturelle,
and it's true that when you live a natural way,
nous sommes dépendants des circonstances.
You are depending on circumstances.
J'ai de l'argent, je suis content.
If I have money, I'm happy.
Je suis en bonne santé, je suis content.
If I'm healthy, I am happy.
J'ai une épouse formidable, je suis content.
I have a great wife, I'm very happy.
Et si je n'ai pas tout ça, je suis pas content.
If I don't have all this, I'm not very happy.
Et c'est vrai, on peut s'imaginer. Quand j'étais petit avec un copain, on devait avoir 7-8 ans.
When I was 7 or 8 years old with a friend of mine.
On se disait, mais à quelle époque t'aurais aimé vivre?
We were asking each other what period of history would you have loved to lived in?
Et nous, on voulait être des cowboys.
And we wanted to be cowboys.
On voulait être dans le Far West.
So we wanted to live in the Far West.
Et attaquer les Indiens.
And just fight with the Indians.
Mais la question c'est, qui aurais-je été si j'avais vécu à cette époque?
But the real question is, who would I have been if I would have lived at that time?
Qu'aurait été Napoléon s'il était né avec les Esquimaux?
Who would have been Napoleon if he was born an Eskimo, you know, in the Arctic?
Quel est le génie de Mozart s'il était né en Amazonie?
Would we have seen the genius of Mozart if he would have been born in Amazonia?
Donc on voit qu'il y a des gens qui naissent sur la terre.
So we have people that are born on this earth.
Mais de façon naturelle, ils sont dépendants aussi de leur environnement.
But in even a natural way, everybody depends on their environment.
Et malheureusement, en tant que chrétien, on peut être sujet à ça aussi lorsqu'on vit dans la chair.
As a Christian, when we live in the flesh, we are in the same way.
C'est-à-dire qu'on s'attend à Dieu pour que les circonstances changent.
We are expecting God to change circumstances.
Afin d'être ce que l'on voudrait être.
To become what we would want to be.
Alors que la vraie liberté, celle qui nous affranchit, c'est-à-dire la parole de Dieu. C'est quand on n'est pas forcément dépendant des circonstances.
It's when you're not depending on circumstances.
C'est ce que Paul dit aux Philippiens, j'ai appris à être le contentement dans la disette comme dans l'abondance.
And this is what Paul says to the Philippians, I learned how to be content, you know, in poverty as well as in richness.
Et c'est pour ça que Daniel s'émerveille là devant Dieu en disant
And this is why we find Daniel in awe here and before God saying,
Il dit, mais tu changes les circonstances.
You change his time. You change times.
Tu donnes l'intelligence.
And on top of that, you give wisdom.
À ceux qui sont déjà intelligents.
Are those who already have wisdom.
Qu'est-ce que ça signifie?
What does that mean?
C'est qu'il y a une première intelligence, c'est la crainte de l'Éternel.
And the first intelligence here is the one that we have when we fear the Lord.
Et lorsque l'on est dans la crainte de l'Éternel, Dieu ajoute.
And when you live in the fear of the Lord, then you have more wisdom.
Et du coup, cette intelligence-là est utile.
And this intelligence is actually useful.
Alors que dans Ecclésiaste, elle n'est pas utile.
And in Ecclesiastes, this intelligence is useless.
Parce que l'homme naturel est complètement dépendant de ce qui se passe à l'extérieur.
Because the natural man is wholly depending on what is on the outside.
En revanche, lorsque l'on vit par la vie de l'esprit,
but when you live with the Holy Spirit, with the life of the Spirit.
Les temps et les circonstances changent.
Times and seasons might change.
Et nous avons toujours cette parole vivante qui va s'adapter aux situations.
But we have a living word that adapts to the situations and the changes.
Et donc on s'aperçoit que la clé pour vivre dans les temps dans lesquels nous sommes aujourd'hui.
So the key really to live in the times we're in right now.
C'est de savoir qui nous sommes en réalité.
Is really to know who we are really.
Quelle est notre identité?
What is my identity?
De quoi suis-je dépendant?
On why am I depending?
Ou de qui suis-je dépendant?
On who am I depending?
L'homme naturel est dépendant de lui-même.
And the natural man depends on himself.
Ou éventuellement des autres.
Or maybe on others.
L'homme spirituel est dépendant de Dieu.
But the spiritual man depends on God.
Et il va faire confiance à Dieu.
He's going to trust God.
Pour les temps et les circonstances.
For the changes and seasons.
Par exemple, lorsqu'on pose la question à Paul, mais si une femme est mariée avec un non-croyant, qu'est-ce qu'elle doit faire?
Like somebody asked Paul, you know, if a woman is married to an unbeliever, what should she do?
Circonstances difficiles.
It's a hard circumstances.
Des temps peut-être difficiles.
Maybe it's a hard time.
Mais la vie qu'il pouvait y avoir dans l'épouse.
But the life that you can find that woman in that wife.
L'identité qu'elle pouvait avoir en Dieu.
The identity that she can find in God.
Pouvait bénir le mariage.
Could bless the wedding.
Et la famille était sanctifiée.
The marriage and the family would be sanctified.
Paul, lorsqu'il parle aux Éphésiens, il n'essaye pas de faire une révolution sociale.
When Paul is talking to the Ephesians, he's not trying to start a social revolution.
L'esclavage était utilisé à l'époque.
Slavery was widespread at the time.
Mais par contre, il va parler aux maîtres.
But he's going to talk to the masters.
Il va parler aux esclaves.
He's going to talk to the servants.
Et il va leur demander d'exprimer le caractère de Dieu.
And he's going to ask both of them to express the character
dans
of God
situation.
In that circumstance.
Et c'est intéressant parce que lorsqu'on lit le chapitre 1 de Daniel,
interesting because when you read the previous chapter in Daniel,
les premiers versets,
the first verses of Daniel chapter 1,
nous voyons au verset 4,
we see in verse 4
que Daniel et ses amis vont être éduqués dans la langue des Chaldéens.
So we hear Daniel and his friends are going to be educated in the language of the Chaldeans.
La vie de Daniel et d'Ézéchiel, et celle d'Ézéchiel également, sont intéressantes pour nous aujourd'hui.
And for us, the life of Daniel and Ezekiel are both very interesting for us today.
Parce qu'ils vivaient dans un monde qui n'était pas celui de Dieu.
Because they were living in a world that really was not godly.
Ils n'étaient pas en terre promise.
They were not in the promised land.
Ils n'étaient pas en Israël.
They were not in Israel.
Et à travers leur comportement,
and through their behavior,
on peut tirer des leçons pour
we
aujourd'hui.
We can take lessons for our lives.
Et qu'est-ce que ça signifiait pour Daniel apprendre la langue des Chaldéens?
What does it mean for Daniel to learn the language of the Chaldeans?
À l'époque de Daniel, à Babylone.
At the time of Babylon, for Daniel.
On parlait couramment une langue qui ressemble à l'araméen.
So they were speaking a language that was close to the Aramean.
Et c'est pour ça que les Juifs avaient ramené cette langue qui était parlée au temps de Jésus.
And that's why they brought that language back at the time of Jesus.
En revanche, le Chaldéen était la langue d'origine. Pour les Babyloniens.
But the Chaldean was really the original language for the Babylonians.
Comme l'hébreu pour les Israélites.
Just like the Hebrew was for the Jews.
Et le Chaldéen était uniquement utilisé pour l'adoration et pour les cultes.
And the Chaldean was actually taught and used during like worship and services.
Pour pratiquer la religion des Chaldéens.
To practice the religion of the Chaldeans.
Et imaginez Daniel qui lui adorait son Dieu sans doute en hébreu.
So think about Daniel who was worshiping God maybe in Hebrew.
Il pouvait se poser la question, mais est-ce que je dois accepter cela?
He should maybe ask and wonder, should I accept to learn the language?
Et en fait, on voit qu'il ne se rebelle pas ou ne s'oppose pas à ça.
And you see that Daniel is not opposing, he's not rebellious to that.
Parce qu'il savait qui il était.
Because he knew who he was.
On voit un peu plus loin.
And you see a little further.
Au verset 7.
Verse 7.
Qu'on leur donne de nouveaux noms.
We give them new names.
Pour prendre uniquement celui de Daniel.
Just to, if you think about the one that was given to Daniel.
On voit que Daniel avait un nom.
He had a name.
Qui signifiait en fait Dieu est mon juge.
And Daniel means God is my judge.
Et il va devenir Belshazzar.
He's going to become Belshazzar.
Qui veut dire le Dieu de Bel.
Which means the God of Bel.
Il aurait pu aussi s'opposer à ce qu'on l'appelle ainsi.
He could also have been opposed to have his name changed.
Imaginez qu'aujourd'hui on vous donne un nom qui est intimement relié à l'esprit de ce monde.
Imagine somebody gives you a new name that is totally tied to the spirit of the world.
Et on pourrait s'opposer à cela.
You could be opposed to that.
Mais Daniel savait qui il était.
But Daniel knew who he was.
Il savait comment Dieu l'appelait.
He knew what was his name before God.
Et donc du coup dans ce monde qui n'était pas facile, dans ces circonstances difficiles.
So in those times and circumstances that were not easy for him.
Il acceptait d'être utilisé comme Dieu voulait qu'il soit.
He accepted to be used the way that God wanted him to use him.
En revanche,
but
à un moment donné,
at some point,
on lui demande de manger des mets qui ont été présentés de façon culturelle aux idoles.
We're asking him to eat some food that was presented to idols.
Et là, il refuse de manger.
And that, at that point, he's going to refuse to eat.
Pourquoi?
Why?
Parce que le problème là, c'était pas lui.
Because the problem now is not it's not about him anymore.
C'était Dieu.
It's about God.
C'était qui était le vrai Dieu?
And the question now is who is the real God?
Qui devrions-nous adorer?
Who should we worship?
Et donc, dans les temps que nous avons à vivre, qui sont peut-être difficiles aujourd'hui.
So maybe the times we're in that we have to live through that are maybe difficult.
Il faut pas se tromper de combat.
John, let's not focus on what is the real fight.
Le combat est pas contre nous.
The fight is not against us.
Le combat est contre Dieu.
The fight is against God.
Et la question est.
And the real question is.
Est-ce que je vais être un outil utilisé par Dieu?
Do I want to be a tool used by God?
Pour pouvoir communiquer le caractère de Dieu dans ce monde et ces circonstances.
To communicate the character of God in this world and these circumstances.
Ou est-ce que je vais pouvoir communiquer mon Dieu dans les situations difficiles dans ma famille?
Can I communicate God in the situations that are difficult in my family?
Peut-être à mon travail.
Maybe at my job.
Très souvent, on veut s'opposer aux circonstances.
Sometimes we want to oppose circumstances.
Alors que la clé est celle-ci.
But the key is rather.
Comment Dieu peut se révéler dans cette situation?
How can God reveal Himself through that situation?
Si Dieu est le Dieu des circonstances et des temps.
If God is the God of times and seasons and circumstances.
Et s'il m'a fait vivre maintenant.
And if He allows me to live right now.
Ça signifie que je peux être un ambassadeur du royaume.
That means that I can now be an ambassador of the kingdom.
Et c'est intéressant parce que dans la première partie du passage dans Daniel 1,
so in Daniel, chapter 1 again,
on voit qu'au verset 2, Nebuchadnezzar a pris tous les ustensiles qu'il y avait dans la maison de l'Éternel.
We see that Nebuchadnezzar took all the articles from the house of the Lord.
Et il a pris ces ustensiles pour les mettre dans la maison de son Dieu.
He took them and put them to the house of his God.
Mais Nebuchadnezzar a pris d'autres ustensiles.
But Nebuchadnezzar took other articles.
C'était Daniel et ses amis.
He took actually Daniel and his friends. They were also the articles.
Mais ces ustensiles ont continué d'être utilisés par Dieu.
But those articles were used by God still.
Et c'était ça qui était le plus important.
And that was what was the most important.
Quels étaient les ustensiles dans le temple?
What do we have as articles in the temple?
Il y avait par exemple des couteaux.
You could have knives.
Afin de découper les sacrifices, de partager les sacrifices.
To slay the sacrifices and maybe cut them also.
Mais l'ustensile que nous pouvons être, c'est de partager Christ aussi.
But the article we can be is to share Christ.
Peu importe où nous sommes.
Wherever we are.
Le territoire est à nous.
This territory belongs to us.
Ça peut être en Canaan.
Could be in Canaan.
Quand les circonstances sont favorables.
When the circumstances are favorable.
Et ça peut être à Babylone.
But it could be also in Babylon.
Les temps et les circonstances changent.
Times and seasons might change.
Mais le l'ustensile que je suis ne change pas.
But the article that I am may don't have to change.
Il y avait d'autres outils, c'était des pelles.
You also have shovels in as articles.
Pour ramasser les cendres qui restaient.
To pick up the ashes in the temple.
Et ça parle de tout ce qui reste de la vie naturelle.
And that speaks to us about all what's left of natural life.
Et c'est ce que nous faisons en tant qu'ustensiles.
And this is what we do as articles also.
Nous ne regardons pas à la chair.
We don't look at the flesh.
Mais nous regardons à Christ.
But we look at Christ.
Nous ne regardons pas au péché.
We don't look at the sin.
Mais nous regardons à la rédemption.
We look at redemption.
Il y avait aussi, qu'est-ce qu'il y avait? Il y avait des bassines.
You also have like vessels.
Pour prendre le sang.
To pick up the blood.
Et le présenter devant Dieu.
And to present it before God.
Et en Christ, c'est ce que nous faisons.
And in Christ, this is what we are doing.
Nous présentons le sang.
We present the blood.
Nous sommes des sacrificateurs.
We are priests.
Il y avait aussi un chandelier.
You also have a candlestick.
Christ est la lumière du monde.
Christ is the light of the world.
Dans le verset de chapitre 2 de Daniel tout à l'heure, on voyait que Dieu reste la lumière malgré les circonstances.
In Daniel chapter 2, we read that God is still the light despite the circumstances.
Et donc nous pouvons être un chandelier où que nous soyons.
So wherever we are, we can be a candlestick.
Les ustensiles que Nabuchodonosor avait pris dans son temple n'étaient plus utiles pour Dieu.
And the articles that Nebuchadnezzar took from to put them in his temple were not anymore useful for God.
Mais nous sommes une parole vivante.
But we have a living word. We are. We can be a living word.
Et cette parole ne s'éteindra pas.
And that word can never stop.
Lorsqu'on est conduit par l'Esprit.
When we are led by the Holy Spirit.
Il y avait aussi des plateaux pour présenter les pains de proposition.
You also have, you know, a place to present the bread.
Et ça nous parle du fait que nous présentons les frères et sœurs ou même les perdus devant Dieu.
And that means that we are still presenting. We can still present the brothers and sisters and the lost. Before God.
Et dans les circonstances difficiles, on a beaucoup de gens pour qui prier.
And in those hard circumstances, we have a lot of people to pray for.
Donc la question est,
the question is,
qui sommes-nous?
Who are we?
Est-ce que nous sommes dépendants de l'âge dans lequel nous sommes?
Are we depending on the times we are living in?
Si nous le sommes, nous allons être séduits et tentés.
And if we are, we're going to be deceived and tempted.
Pour trouver une identité.
To find an identity.
Pour renforcer une identité.
To strengthen an identity.
Ou si mon identité est en Dieu.
But if my identity is in God.
Peu importe ce que le monde peut dire de moi.
Whatever the world can say about me.
Ils peuvent m'appeler du nom qu'ils veulent.
They can give me a different name.
Ils peuvent essayer de m'instruire.
They can try to teach me.
Mais il y a la parole de Dieu en moi.
But the word of God is in me.
Par le Saint-Esprit.
By the Holy Spirit.
Et c'est le caractère de Dieu que je vais préserver dans ma vie.
And the character of God that I keep in my life.
Qui va préserver mon identité en
that
Christ.
That would keep my identity in Christ.
Et c'est comme ça qu'il y aura la puissance de Dieu au milieu des circonstances.
And this is how we find the power of God in the middle of our circumstances.
Que Dieu vous bénisse.
God bless you.
All right, would you stand? And with someone near you, just, you know, just talk about being a vessel and a shovel and a lampstand and, you know, give the person next to you a new name. Just go ahead. Just, you know, and if you're like from another country, give them like a Romanian name or a French name or... Okay, you can be seated. The next message we are about to hear comes to us from Florida and the city of Miami. Here's Pastor Ken Fiers.
Good morning. Wake up. Pastor Devendra here? Where you at? Hi. I don't understand why you don't get emails. You said you never got an email from Jen. You have a government agency deleting them. Sorry. I got an email, you know, I got an email, and it well, I don't even know where my phone is. Let me read this email to you from Jen Lynch. Oh, I don't. But I do got it memorized. And what it says is, can you please switch your time Thursday with Pastor Devendre on Wednesday? So you're up. And then it said, P.S., don't forget to tell him. My bad. I messed up on that one. Wow. All right. Now that's out of the way, right? Let's turn in your Bibles to, and it's a pleasure to be here, and I thank all the staff and everybody that's put this amazing work together. I mean, this is beyond me how this can happen. We can't even get Sundays rolling good, you know? Got all these problems with the nursery. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 94. And Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be called your children and how you work with us just the way we are. It is beyond me to think that, and we love you. Just use these words, touch your people, Lord. Amazing people called by your name. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. You know, we have this, and I've heard this a couple times, this convention, that we have this great, amazing need as people. We have a need. We have a great, great need. But we also have a God that is there to help. And do we call out to him? Do we cry out to him when we have this need? Psalm 94:17, he says, unless the Lord had been my help, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon settle in silence. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon settle in silence. And I was thinking about that and praying upon that and this word unless, and it basically means the outcome would be completely different if God didn't step in. And a lot of you could probably fill that in. Unless a God stepped in this situation or did this in my life, you know, could you imagine what the outcome would be? And he goes into the outcome a little to show us through the psalmist. He shows us what the outcome would have been if he did not step in. And you know, he's a present help. And some of us forget that. He's a present help, an immediate help in a situation. But even as believers, sometimes we forget to cry out to him. We forget to cry out to God in Psalm 61:1. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why, as God people, we don't go to God. We try to deal with these areas and these problems and these situations that we should be crying out for. We try to deal with them ourselves, like it's, you know, like the world says, you know, you can handle your problem, you can deal with it, you know, and we don't go to God with everything. Not just the hard things, I mean, everything. Going to God with everything. Wow. Job 6:13 says, isn't help from within? And we know, no. You know, he's trying to say, can I solve this? Can I deal with this problem? Am I not capable to handle this problem in this area, in this situation? And again, God opens up and he shows this, and it says that my soul would soon, which means it would be such a rapid decline. It'd be such a rapid decline if God didn't step in. My life would spiral out of control. My soul would soon settle. And it's like pitching a tent. And I'm going to park it right here. And there's two meanings to that. You know, one of them is a state of dying, dead. Psalm 31:17. My soul settles in silence is a state of death. But the other one's it was a little intriguing. It goes like this. It says that that soul that settles in silence is a soul that settles into the world system and adapts worldly wisdom as our counselor. This is what God's saying. If I didn't step in, you would settle in the world system. And matter of fact, it even goes into the extent where you would even adapt everything that the world says about you. But worse than that, you wouldn't even say anything about it. You would accept it in silence and agree with it and adapt to it. And we try to handle our problems this way. And you know, it's something. It's accepting what the world dictates to you without raising a voice. And don't we see that today? Don't we see all these issues come up and the church or the Christian is even like in silence to it? And it breaks my heart to see some of these things happen. There's two, the next two verses here is amazing. And God shows us. He says, see, a lot of times we cry out to God and we're crying. And God maybe is not delivering. And we lose hope and we give up. And we stop going to him. You know, God has promised to help. Maybe it's not on our timeline. It's maybe not when we want it. Maybe God's trying to show us other things within that, in those areas. And it says in verse 18, it says, if I slip, if my foot slips, your mercy will hold me up. If my foot slips. And a lot of times we slip, and this slipping matter here is where we turn and look at the slip. We are analyzing the slip. And the slip is basically saying that you have failed in this area. And Satan always wants us to look at the slip, always wants us to look and analyze the failure, always wants us to be consumed with you've just slipped and you've just fallen. Jeremiah 23:12, it says, there are slippery ways. We have all these slippery ways, and that is any time we turn away from God becomes a slippery way for us. But then the promise comes, then the help comes, and it says, but my mercy was there to uphold you. And that's the miracle, and that's God helping. And what that means is I'm looking at the slip, I'm looking at my failure, And mercy comes, and as I'm looking down at my failure, my sin, and my guilt, my shame, mercy comes and takes my head and lifts it back up that I can see Christ. And that's that help. That's that amazing help when I slip. And the next part here is good too. It says, verse 19, it says, in the multitudes of anxieties within me, You comfort me. You comfort my soul in delight. And here's another person who is not going to God with everything. Every single problem he wants to help. And when we don't go to him, anxieties dwell up within us. And these are a multitude of anxieties. It started small. These are small little problems. Oh, I can handle them. I can deal with them. And all of a sudden, it's getting out of control. It's spiraling. And now I've got these multitudes of pressures and strain and anxieties. And I'm anxious for all things that have dwelt up within me. And now I don't know how to deal with it. And anxieties lead to pressure, and pressure leads to stress, and stress leads to fear. And it just keeps on spiraling, keeps on going. And now how do we deal with it? And he gives us this little verse, and he says, I comfort you. I'm going to comfort your soul. And anytime we hear this word comfort, I think of how he, it's just a promise. One promise from God. And there, you know, there's over 6,000 promises from God. Don't come to me and correct me. Don't say, Ken, there's 6,500. No, there's a lot. There's a lot of promises from God in this amazing book. And you know what? We only need one. We need one to stand upon. We just need one promise to stand upon. And that will comfort my soul. Anxiousness will not be there. Anxiety cannot take root when I have a promise of God to stand by whatever I'm going through. And it's so... That was Miami saying amen, by the way. Did you hear that? But we get anxious for many things, and many things come at us, and the world system is always trying to make us anxious and forsake the promise. God's not going to help. He's not going to be for. He might have been with you before, but he's not going to be with you now. And I think in Mark chapter 9, there was a father who had a son who had this very nasty, evil spirit with him. And he says, he came to Jesus and said, I went to your disciples, but they couldn't do a thing for me. They couldn't take care of my need. And Jesus said to him, just believe. And sometimes we hear this and, oh, yeah, you know. But no, will you believe today? Will you just believe? And the guy says, yeah, I can believe in verse 24, Mark 9:24. He says, I'm going to believe for that. And sometimes we then get by ourselves. It's very easy to believe when you're around other believers. But then when you get by yourself, uh-oh. Well, maybe I don't believe the way I should. Maybe I have a little doubt. And we all have doubt within us. And it creeps in too. And this is why we guard our hearts. But, maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I don't believe God is going to step in and help this problem. Because this is the one that's before me now. And that's the only problem that matters, right? It's the one that we're dealing with now. Not the one that left, not the one where God came through, and not the one that's coming tomorrow, the one now. I'm in one now. And he says something amazing, Jesus. He said to Jesus, he says, help my unbelief. I believe, but in case there's a little area that maybe I don't know of or it's going to come up later when I'm alone and fighting with this situation, Lord, can you help that part too? Yeah. And that's so amazing, and that's so honest. Can we be honest before God and say, Lord, yeah, there's even unbelief here. You get a call to go somewhere and you start questioning it, everything. And you've got 90 million reasons why you can't. instead of the one reason why God says you can. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Thank you. Heavenly Father, again, we love you for the word of God. Just touch this portion and bless the remainder of our convention. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, let's see if we could have, there was Pastor Jabulani and the group that was from South Africa. Wasn't that good? It was awesome, really. just for exposure and encouragement and whatever else I guess you could say, could we have some pastors come up forward and just stand on the stage for a second, just to tell like your name and where you're from, just so that we can see you. We are together once a year, and maybe it would be good for a lot of it. We know a lot of people, but is Pastor Horn here from New Hampshire? Oh, okay, yeah. All right, thank you. How about if we had, let's say, the first group could be the American pastors. Just come on up because we want to see you. And just come on up and stand here. And we just want to pray and love you. Yeah, thank you. Wow, that's great. Awesome. Yeah, come on in the middle. Great. Let's make a huddle. Yeah, come on in the middle, right up front. Wow, this is, man, thank you, Pastor Mike. Wow, super. Huh? This is awesome. Wow, just think what these guys are doing, huh? What are they doing? Huh? Isn't it? Hey, we should sing together because they think we can't sing. They think we can't sing. What? Wait, yeah. Let's see. Do any of us here a song leader? Pastor Lance, you could do it. What? What do we need? Do you know the name of a song? Yeah, just the name. Because they'll put it right up there for your words. Yeah. What? Okay, do we have the song, He Is Here, to the AV? He is here, and put it up on the screen. All right, as they're working on that, let's take that mic. And just say... this is the gray one. Yeah, okay. Thank you. So, do you know where they are all from and who they are? And do you want to know?
Yes.
And do you want their picture on your refrigerator? Huh? And we should get a picture, by the way, actually. Yeah, let's get a picture, too. But all right, so just say your name and the city you're from. Is that good? All right, here we go.
All right.
Here we
Boom.
Go.
That's live. Pastor Jack Wheatley from Elgin in the Chicagoland area.
Pastor Harry Weisskopf, Elgin, Illinois.
Pastor Perkins from Las Vegas.
Pastor LeBlanc from Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Pastor Lance Borowski from Broad Auburn, New York.
Pastor Sterling Johnson from Brooklyn, New York.
Pastor Ron DeLewis, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pastor Kirk from the Pizza Church in Broad Auburn, New York.
Pastor Chris McFarland from the west coast of Florida.
Pastor Fred from Baltimore, Maryland.
Pastor Robert Hahn from Laconia, New Hampshire.
Pastor Donnie Brown from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Pastor Joe Roach, Baltimore.
Pastor Paul Paradis, Enfield, Connecticut.
Pastor Richard Shepherd, Lebanon, Indiana.
Pastor David Umstead, Rockport, Maine.
Pastor Doug Wombolt, Marlboro, Mass.
Pastor Scott Etman, Malta, New York.
Pastor David Moore, Malta, New York.
Pastor Bruce Wright, Havre de Grace, Maryland.
Pastor Ken Fires, Miami, Florida.
Oh, well done. Hey, how about if we just said, which one of you have it in your heart to say something profound to us? Okay, all of us, we're praying right now. Okay, Lord, give it to... Okay. Okay, there it is. Go ahead.
Profound. Wisdom. Can you repeat after me?
Wisdom.
Is a skillful capacity. To
use knowledge exactly right
in the mind
for each
specific
detail of life.
Amen.
Wow. Hey, when it's not broken, don't fix it. Let's keep going. Okay, which of you have something to say to us from the Lord? Go ahead. That was good, wasn't it?
Let's see. I learned recently that praying without ceasing... Is that Thessalonians 5:13 or 2? I get 1 and 2 mixed up a lot. has to do with, in Greek secular literature, whereby it doesn't really mean constantly praying 24/7. It means having sort of like a cough where you can't get rid of it. And you're not coughing all the time. But it's always there, and so it never really goes away. So when you're in the middle of work or when you're doing something that's not church related, it's always there, and God is always with you.
When in doubt, go to the Word of God. In His presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11. Next.
Just was thinking, since he brought up that word fullness, it reminded me that about Jesus being full of grace and truth, and there's no room in him for anything else. And that we have received his fullness, so we can be full of all who Christ is. That means there's no room for negativity, no room for criticism, no room for condemnation. And all those things are not part of who he is. And so of his fullness we have, you know, and being able to just grow in that, understand that, live in that, give that. That's awesome, isn't it? Is that profound, Pastor Schaller?
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to make it short and simple. Follow after the man is following after God. And you can't go wrong. Amen.
It has good it's been good to be here, and that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. So it's been a joy to just be here and receive and see your faces and watch you respond to the Lord and worship God. And thank you. Thank you, body of Christ. We love you and praise the Lord.
I'm just thinking that how really, really precious it is to be here with the body of Christ. The preciousness of the anointing. No one could orchestrate this. No one could learn it without the Holy Spirit speaking, teaching, the preaching, the morning sessions, every aspect of it, the music, and just really just the preciousness of the anointing and His presence. So we have something very, very special here. Is supernatural, and we just really thank God for it, don't we?
I was thinking about a song I used to lead from The Lord Reigneth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, one of the beautiful things about God is that He reigns when we let Him reign in our life. He's reigning anyway, but He really reigns when we let Him. And He's reigned in my marriage for 51 years. And it gets better and better all the time. But so does our walk with Jesus Christ. And it is such a pleasure and blessing to be here with you folks today. Every time we come down here, we sense the Spirit of God, and the messages are tremendous. And you have a great pastor here in Baltimore.
The last week of June every year, Pastor Stevens, when he was living, he said, before you leave convention this year, make plans to be here next year. That's been my motto. What I love about convention is the fullness of the body. Because sometimes we come and we are perplexed with the situations at home base. And sometimes you're not in tune with the anointing. But let me tell you, don't worry about it. Because when you go in a fellowship hall, when you talk to somebody that you don't even understand their language, God can speak to you. And that's one of the great things about the fullness of the body. God can use a simple conversation in a fellowship hall to answer what you've been toiling with. Not even from a message, not even from a preacher, but from a body member. So that's what I love about Baltimore, the body life. God bless you.
Wisdom. I think it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. And just being consistent. And like Pastor Stevens would say over and over again, don't quit. Don't quit, you know, and wisdom is coming here every June. You know, don't stay home, come here. It's like an incredible experience. And, you know, talking with the people back home and stuff, and I got them excited, but, you know, I want God to really push them to come next year. You know what I mean? I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to make them want to come. And let the Holy Spirit actually do the work. So wisdom is just seeking after God and not quitting on God.
Just thinking that we've been trained here to always take the next step by faith. You know, step out onto the water and
even though that's, it's scary. It's a scary step, but it's the next step. You do it by faith no matter how you feel. And so thank you, Pastor Schaller, for always speaking those words as long as I've been here and speaking that way, so, and living that way.
How many minutes do I have? In the world, there's a light, and the world comprehended it not. And I believe it's Catalabano, right? We seize it, right, and we make it our own. And I'm thinking of Pastor Stephen saying, come on, let's get some guts, right? Isn't that what we're taught here, to have some guts? Take that word, seize it, and take it out, and give it to the world. And so let's have some guts and just answer the call. Like the men up here and the body here, it's just, that's our ministry, right? And it's exciting to be part of it, and I'm glad to be here.
Okay. So I was just thinking this morning, I was negotiating a contract at work with these guys from India. And my hearing is not the greatest, my phone is not the greatest, and the accent made it very difficult. So as I'm there, I had to be so attentive, because this is not a very cheap amount of money. And so as I'm paying such attention to it, slowly I'm beginning to understand. And I was just thinking, in light of what we heard last night, it's all, so quickly we see how we fall into sensuality and devilish and go that way. But last night as I was listening, how quickly and how easily do we go into the heavenly mindset? Into it. It's not an effort. Just as fast as I can slip, I can grow. And I just thought that was awesome. Thank you.
So I flew in last night, but I've been listening and watching online. And I had this thought, and James 1 says, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, right? We did these teen hoodies years ago, and on the back of our hoodie, the teens came up with this slogan, and it said, the Bible, don't just read it, eat it. And we use Matthew 4:4, you know, that when Jesus was tempted, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And, you know, anytime we're unsure of something and we're like, all right, God, what should I do? We just want to go back to the word and say, it is written. What does God say about this subject matter? That's wisdom. Let us ask, and we'll gain wisdom.
Amen. Number one, I want to tell you something I hope you already know. God has brought us here, and we are in a really good place. If you don't know that, it's true. Number two, get everything that God has for you here. Don't leave anything on the table. Get it all. And number three, take it and share it with everybody you can. It's good to be with you.
Genesis 1:31, I often think of this. When God created all things, he said that all things were very good. But when he created man out of the dust, in Genesis 2:18, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. And I was thinking this week that when man was created, he was sinless. He was without fault. He didn't have any flaws. God essentially created him perfect in that he was innocent. But that verse in Genesis 2:18, it also says that he still needed help. And I want us to think about that. A perfect man being created, he still needed help. And how much more I, as a sinner saved by grace, needing help. And it says that God would provide him a help that is sufficient for him. And this is the wisdom of God, that he would set the solitary in families. And he would provide for us the manifold wisdom that is only found in the body of Christ.
That was profound, sir. Wow.
Psalm 133. Well, you know, what are we doing here? The interesting dynamic is that we are, at the same time we're participating, we're also spectating. Like, we are observing the body of Christ, of whom I am a member in particular. That's amazing. And of all the diversity that we have and we see here, the unmeasurable oneness. I mean, how could you? You know, I look at these men here and all of them, you know, just serving God and looking at the body and all of us just, you know, with this vision in our heart. How did that happen? It is a real manifestation of what grace can do to those who can't do it without grace.
Who's next? Last man holding the mic.
Okay. I guess is that the... On our way here, my wife and I, we were listening to Corporate Pentecost. And we're not born of blood, not by the will of man, but by the very life of God. And to know that in these last days that he is not going to take for himself a bride that is maimed, that is weak, and that is afraid, but he's going to take a bride that has been amply equipped to be his partner, that we would ride with him into glory, and that he would take us up in a moment, and there would be a vacuous absence, and the world would say and wonder what they should do, and they will stiffen their necks, but we will be strong, and we will be well able to love.
Those are not weasel words, are they? I was thinking about wisdom, and I love the theme of the convention. Thank you. I just want to thank everybody here. Thank you, Pastor Schaller. And just thinking about that, the theme, the wisdom. And we usually don't seek for wisdom until we have to, and the things are forced upon us, and we really don't have the answer outside of God, and we go to God for his wisdom, and we need it, don't we? We need wisdom for our, you know, our churches, our marriages, our living, and just think that God will give it. He doesn't give it, he doesn't ration it out, but he gives it like he pours it out, and it's available there for us. And I just think that for us, God would pour out his wisdom upon us, and that we would be blessed and have that wisdom for our times, the times that we're in. And I just think that this is this time, family time. I think it's just family time. I'm just loving it, just soaking it up. I just somebody said, "You have a smile on your face. I haven't seen." Yes, man, I am smiling. It's great to be here.
So each year to be able to come back to convention and experience the mountaintop and be with the Lord and be with the body and to get refreshed and to be built up, but then to leave and know that God has a plan for our life, a purpose for our life, to know that we have to come from the mountain and go back into the valleys. Because the ones in the valleys have a great need. And we don't go alone because he promises. You know, we're afraid sometimes where we maybe have things in our life that we think, Lord, we can't do it. And what you've heard here tonight today from many of these men are that we can't do it. God chooses the most unlikely to do the most miraculous because then it's all to the glory of God. So as we leave and we think we can't go, Lord, how can I? Maybe God has spoken to you. Convention is a great time when the Holy Spirit gives definition for the next steps in life. I know he did it for me over the years, and he continues to do it. And there may be hesitation or reservation, but the one thing that we can know is that God promises that he will go with us. And we just answer the call, and we follow God. and we're not alone, and he goes with us. So when we leave, we have another 12 months to live this glorious gift called life and to walk in his plan and his purpose. And when we do that and we just are still before God, he says, be still and know that I am God. And we just wait upon God. And we walk when God says walk. We speak when God says speak. We do what God says to do. And then we just stay. And we're steadfast and we're immovable. And we just watch as God allows us to abound by his grace and according to his plan. And then he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we lift our hands to God and we say, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Great. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Every one of us here has a plan from God. Who would like to be successful in God's plan? Raise your hands. Okay, I'm not going to tell you how to do that. But I am going to tell you where to find it. You'll find the formula for success in God's plan in Psalm 37. Go read it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Before you go down, we want to build you up. Okay. So I will say a sentence and then you say it to them. Okay. All right. And you can say it loudly to them from your heart. Okay. Okay. We want to thank you for your prayers for us. We want to thank you for your preaching. Don't stop. Okay, we want to thank you for your heart for missions. You give your hearts. You give money. You give love. You have faith. You are important. We love you. This sounds like a wedding. And we're making vows. Okay, wait a minute. All right, so, no. I mean, we love you. We pray for you, pray for your wives, your families. God is with us. Thank God. We have a message in Chicago, Miami, New Orleans, and the pizza place, and many other places. We are with you. Hallelujah. And we love you. Thank you for coming here. Come again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Love you.